Morning Show. JD, Blake, and Ailish. It's time for Big Buddha. Nick Kyprios, real Kyprian born, and maker, or at least, and you're not the maker. Like, you're just, you know, you're
yeah, he's in there,
coattails,
stirring
yeah,
stuff.
You're a helper.
Putting pineapple in things.
Yeah, wife's best helper. Yeah, exactly. He shows up. He's just like, put this apron on and tell people where they can buy this, okay? He's like, okay. That's what he does. But it is great. It is Little Buddha season. I had one last night as I was staying up, watched Battle of Alberta. It's Nick Kyprios. What's up, buddy? How we doing?
I'm good. I'm official taste tester. I think my wife told me.
Nice.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I, you got a lot of big responsibilities. I bet you hold that big spoon real good. Like, you're like, oh, I got the spoon.
Big spoon.
Yeah.
It's like the chocolate factory there, Willy Wonka's, right? Same thing at the Kyprios household.
So, buddy.
Oompa Loompa's running around.
Was that a kick? Was that a distinct kicking motion for you?
Yeah, it was. It wasn't as blatant as others in the past, but I really believe that Coleman knew what he was doing with his left foot. The right one got a little tied up. There's no question that he made eye contact with the puck, and I thought he propelled his foot forward and guided the puck into the net. It was just not as forceful as others, but it was a gutsy call, I got to tell you. I mean, under those circumstances, Calgary at home, chasing the series, really gutsy call.
Kipper, gutsy is not the right word here. Idiotic, moronic, selfish is like, that's the right thing. Like, I'm with you in that. I think Coleman knew what he was doing. I do. I think he looks down at the puck and he decides like a little bit at a split second of like, okay, you know what? My skate should be here rather than here. But by the letter of the law, for us to kind of look at that clip, or for anyone to look at that clip and say, you know what, this is a distinct kicking motion, and this video 100% has to overturn it, in this game, in this moment, it's one of the greatest injustices I've seen in modern sports. Like, it's horrific, dude. It's really, really bad. And, like, I don't even your co-host, Justin Bourne, he tweeted where he's just like, I'm not even sure this is against the letter of the rule. It's just tough, man. It's awful. Like, I don't know. It just sucks that we're bringing you on, Kipper, and we're talking about this instead of Connor McDavid, the world's greatest hockey player, ending his divisional rival, his regional rival, in overtime. Like, I don't know. I feel like there's got to be some kind of accountability from the league here. Like, somebody's got to step up and say something. Like, this isn't just going to go away. I don't feel like it's certainly not going to go away in Calgary. This is going to be there forever.
Well, first of all, we're still going to talk about McDavid. We're just going to do both.
Maybe on your show. This is our show. We decide, okay? Like, you, like, this.
We're in charge.
You can do whatever you want to do on your show, buddy. But you're a guest here, okay? So don't try to dictate the content.
Well, you're nuts if you're not going to mention Connor McDavid today. But hey, listen, you're right. It's your show. I think what's really happened now is, over the last few years, people have just completely hung on to the word distinct. So it's gone from the word distinct to, you got to be a complete moron not to know that he purposely kicked this in. That's what now distinct has turned into. And it's gray. And we saw it last night. It is gray. And Coleman's, like I said, Coleman's motion was not too often. We see it this kind of subtle, lacking intensity. It was masked pretty good, and ultimately, you know, the NHL head office, they made a decision, they stuck with it, obviously, and maybe they do need to maybe put out a statement reiterating what they thought they saw, and maybe more of an explanation. I don't know if that's helpful to people, where they were coming from, what they saw. But at the end of the day, like I said, they're in there. They got only a few minutes to make a call, and they made it, and they stuck to what they said, and end of story.
We're speaking to Nick Kyprios, who is our insider. That's brought to you by Don Valley North Lexus, where you can expect excellence online and in the showroom. Visit DonValleyNorthLexus.com. So let's talk about Connor McDavid. You know, I feel like once overtime hit, it was inevitable that he was going to be the guy. He, even after the game, said, I had a bit of an off game. I wasn't playing well, and he still is able to secure that, you know, winning goal. What was it about this series for you that just put Connor McDavid in another upper echelon of hockey greatness? And is this the story moving forward where everyone's just going to be rooting for him to finally hoist the cup?
Well, it's hard not to cheer for that type of talent or that type of, commitment to squeeze out every last drop of what you have to offer. And I think between him and Dreisaitl, we're seeing something probably we've never seen in the sport, for me, you know, maybe ever, where you really believe that, two guys can make a difference between winning and losing. In hockey, it's not quite like baseball where you can rely on a pitcher on a mound or the accuracy of a quarterback to continue to throw the ball in the right places. This is two guys that still find themselves on the bench for two-thirds of the game, you know? And while we sit there and say, okay, it's all Dreisaitl and McDavid, then all of a sudden Evander Kane ends up leading the league in scoring after two rounds, and Zach Hyman turns into this monster, you know, power forward, and Mike Smith's doing some great things again. And, you know, it's still more of a team, I think, when it's all said and done. But the points that Dreisaitl and McDavid have produced have been unheard of in a series. I've never seen anything like it. To now continue that for two more rounds is going to be extremely tough, and the odds are against those guys. But with that talent level, how do you kind of rate them off? It's been fun to watch, and you know, there could be some new fans out there that have never really watched it before and get to watch it through McDavid right now. It's a good time for hockey,
buddy. Here's the thing, though. Drysdale was solid, and he made some really great plays. And the guy is maybe playing on one foot, and he's still doing this. But it just tells me, like, this series has been about the gap between he and McDavid, and how it's just like, I can't put those two guys together. It's just one guy. I said that on yesterday's show, and I've been saying all week that to me, this, like, what we're seeing from McDavid right now is not just like a super, it's the superstar ascension, the like rightful claiming of his throne as not just like the greatest player on planet Earth, but like a Mount Rushmore type of player. I said, this is what I feel like watching him play is what it felt like to watch Bobby Orr. And you go, oh my God, a defenseman can do this? Like, someone can play this way? Or what it would have felt like watching Wayne Gretzky in his prime? Like, those are the only two guys in hockey history that I can equate this to. Like, this isn't like a Sidney Crosby type of dominance. This is like a whole new thing where just every time he touches the puck, every rush opportunity, the skating, the stick handling, every part of it is so special. When you're saying I've never seen anything like this before and you're talking about the dominance, I feel the same way. Like, we might see a guy will his team to a Stanley Cup in a way that, like, frankly, just I never thought was possible in modern day hockey.
Yeah, we had Oiler great Kevin Lowe on Real Kipper and Bourne the other day, and he compared it to Michael Jordan, and I don't think he's too far off in terms
of. He listens to the show. I call him Hockey Shaq. He's trying to steal my take and tweak it, but that's okay, Kevin Lowe. You're allowed to do what you want.
Well, I'll just tell him to credit you next time for sure.
Thank you. Thank you.
But
I appreciate that.
It, you know, when you talk about MJ and the Bulls and just being able to kind of carry it, it's, you know, pretty close. Terms of the way you feel every time he touches the puck is the same way Bull fans felt when the ball was in Michael Jordan's hands. And again, Michael Jordan got to play a lot more minutes. He got to dictate a lot more of the game and the pace of play and from start to finish. McDavid's got to go and sit on a bench for a few minutes and then come back out and be that impactful guy. And he's been able to do it. But for a lot of things, especially for the game of hockey, it just seems to be the perfect storm. The way the league has tweaked the rules since coming out of the lockout in 2004, everything that they've done to change rules has been to create it in a world where this type of player can shine like this. And it's taken a while, but we're seeing it. We're seeing a guy that can, that has that type of skill, that doesn't have to turn around and worry about a slug like me who's going to hook him and hold him and clutch him and grab him and punch him in the head and all of that. And it's just, right now, it's a great time to be watching the National Hockey League with a player like Connor McDavid leading it.
Yeah, I can't believe how much... I shouldn't say I can't believe how much I love watching him, but I can't believe how invested I am in watching the Oilers continuously going. And yeah, I think that there's a reason why everybody has the basketball take, because again, hockey is very much this team sport where the two of hockey has always compared itself to basketball in reasons where they go, well, it's different for this, right? Like, oh, one superstar player can't just take over a series and dominate. Now hockey's got like an existential crisis because it's just like everybody's comparing McDavid to MJ and they're going, wow, this is what our sport is becoming. We don't really even know what to do with this. Like, and I kind of feel for, I don't feel for these guys as much because they don't deserve it, but like the rest of the other superstars in the league where I'm like, what is the gap between him and McKinnon? Like, let's see this in the next series. What's going to be the gap between him and McCarr? I really need that series. I really need to see what that is, but I kind of feel like there's going to be, I'm on Team Choke. I think that I called them the second round Leafs, Colorado, second round Leafs. What do you think? You think we're getting it? You think we're getting it tonight? If they lose this game, I think they're dead.
I did my predictions for Sportsnet before the playoffs like everybody else, and I had Tampa Bay and St. Louis in the final. And St. Louis pulled one right out of you-know-where to at least keep my prediction alive for a few more days. But it's going to be a tough one. The fourth one's always the toughest one to close out, and I think Colorado has learned that lesson on a number of occasions, like you just mentioned. But this one could go seven. I think it all depends on that Ville Husso and whether or not he can act like a starting goaltender and not give up those bad short side ones. But St. Louis is very much alive. There's no question about that.
Yeah. So I want to double back to the Oilers Flames just for a sec, Kipper. You had tweeted yesterday kind of that hey, this could be Johnny Gaudreau's last game with the Flames. What do you think the future looks like for him? Because he obviously had a lot more pop last night, got his first goal in the series, but there's been kind of a weird cloud around his whole situation with the Flames most of this year. And I'd imagine this is how free agency works. There's some sort of finality coming. What do you think his future looks like there?
Oh, this has got John Tavares written all over it. See ya. Bye-bye. I think he played his last game last night.
He's going to Philly?
He's going somewhere, and someone's going to pay him a heck of a lot of money. And people will still question, can he play and rise this time of year? Is he too small? Does he get boxed out this time of year? He's going to still have to deal with that, but there's no question that he's one of the most skilled guys in the league. And for a team like Philadelphia, where the most important thing is to make the playoffs, not actually win in the playoffs, someone's going to pay him money that could be a lot more justified than what Calgary needs to justify to sign him to probably the same numbers.
So on the Flames side of it, I felt like I was really disappointed with the way that their top line just kind of faded off. And even after post-game, coaching staff saying, I think we just maybe got outplayed by one person. Did you feel the same way with the lack of star power that Calgary had, even though during the regular season they were one of the best lines in hockey?
Yeah, I think you're absolutely correct. But I don't even... yes, I know Matthew Tkachuk didn't have anywhere near the series or the impact that people were hoping or Johnny Hockey compared to what McDavid and Draisaitl brought. I really thought, though, that the lack of the elite or star power was from Calgary's blue line. They got caved in. Like, they got overwhelmed by not only Dreisaitl and McDavid, but Hyman and Nugent Hopkins played really exceptionally well. Vander Kane, they just ran them over. They had no answer. And if you really look at that blue line, it was always by committee. There wasn't anyone that really stood out. Factor in that Tanev's, 50%, 40%? And that blue line just caved in this series. A lot of them still learning. Anderson, Hanifin, you know, Shillington. Some of these guys came in with 10, 15 career playoff games. They were not ready to shut down or slow down Connor and the Oilers.
Yeah, we'll see how different it is in the next round, and if a blue line looks better. Because, yeah, you're right. It's like it's one of those things where I didn't think that Calgary Stars were good enough. I didn't think that Calgary played well enough. But I need to see what this Edmonton, like this kind of juggernaut version of McDavid looks like against a better team. Hopefully, again, that's Colorado. I hope Colorado makes it through. But, yeah, I'm hedging my bets. I think there's going to be a lot of weight on their shoulders. So last one.
Colorado or St. Louis, either or. I don't think
St. Louis can beat that Oilers team.
They're pretty good when they're on. They still got Hearts of Champions there. Ryan O'Reilly. These guys have won before, and they didn't win like 5 or 7 years ago either. These guys, many of them, still have a lot of juice here. The goaltending, I question a little bit, but there's something about St. Louis that kind of breeds that championship mentality. And we'll see what happens tonight against Colorado, but I think it'll surface again tonight.
Yeah. I don't know if I'm going to trust Ville Husso. After I watched Markstrom meltdown, I just don't know if I'm going to trust him. But they do have clutch goal scorer Tyler Bozak, right? And Kadri's doing his thing last night.
There's always some ex-Leaf association somewhere, and there's always somebody now playing in the playoffs, it's going to make a Leaf fan feel horrible. And I guess it was Zach Hyman in this series too, right?
That's what I mean. That's where I was going. Is I thought Hyman was their best player last night. Like,
oh boy,
he was amazing.
Every facet of the game, the hitting. This guy just drives. His ability to create holes just by driving hard. A lot of teams need that, want it. Leafs could have used it in game 6 and 7, but let's not go there.
Okay, let's not go there. I'll let you go. I'll let you go because I got
another
a lot of
day.
Things to go there on. Another day. Long. It's going to be a long summer. I mean, not for you. You guys are off soon. You guys are just like you get through like, what, a week and then you're off. But yeah, boy, a long time to go. Nick Kiprios, Stanley Cup champion, co-host of Real Kipper and Born later today. And then, of course, taste tester of Little Buddhas, which are excellent. It's getting hot. Go out and get one.
It is.
And go order one.
The raspberry and the pink grapefruit hibiscus are available on drinkobs.com.
That's it.
I like raspberry.
I was going to ask. I haven't had enough hibiscus in my alcoholic beverages lately.
Where can I go.
Where can I find some
hibiscus? It's classy alcohol, right?
Yeah. Again, listen, it's not even us that's plugged. It's now like a multiple award-winning cocktail, all right?
Thank you very much.
Multiple award-winning. Multiple award-winning. Nick
official taste tester. Winner.
Yeah, I want that job. I'm coming for your job. All right, see you, buddy.
Thanks, guys.
Nick Kiprios. The Flames, this is what's so crazy about this, is like their team was so good this year, and I Johnny Gaudreau, I think, is gone too. He's kind of the heartbeat of a lot of their offensive push, and I love Backlund, but guess what? Backlund's on the last year of his deal. Kachuk just had a really rough series. Markstrom just had a really tough series. Mm-hmm. It's so strange to me. They made it to the second round, but you want to talk about takes? I actually think that Calgary's offseason is way more complicated mm-hmm. than Toronto's, right? Like Toronto, you could run it back and people feel better. Calgary, I don't know what the hell you do. By the way, that insider, of course, was brought to you by Don Valley North Lexus, where you can expect excellence online and in the showroom. Visit DonValleyNorthLexus.com. This is going to be for a team that had such a good year, such a positive year, that I really did feel like was the favorites to come out of the West. Mm-hmm. That's what how I felt going into that series, that they were going to win. That if you would have said this game series is over in five games, I would have said, yeah, that makes sense because Drysdale's on one foot and they just the Flames are better everywhere than Edmonton other than McDavid, and this is the way it's going to go. So I just – it's going to be complicated for Calgary this offseason. It's not going to get any easier with their fans just never going to let that one go when it comes to that goal call.
Well, they're not going to let it go. It's a tough one to let go, but hey – as we learn at 8:30 most days, excuses don't really do it for a lot of people. Even if they're justified, if you're on a losing streak, if you fail to come through, you don't get to make excuses. No excuses needed last night. Mm-hmm. Herman Marquez bad. Edmonton Calgary over. Yankees Rays scoreless through five. The first ever Wake and Break that was presented by Unibet hits 1-0 undefeated. So it's time, coming up after the break, for another edition of the Wake and Rake, presented by Unibet. Crazy about the odds.
The most opinionated Maple Leaf show out there. Real Kipper and Bourne. Be sure to subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sportsnet 590. 590. The Fan.
Wake up!
Now it's time for Wake and Rake.
You could be raking in the dough with your kind of back.
Show me the money.
With JD, Blake, and Ailish.
Wake up, you piece of shit.
It's time for the Wake and Rake, brought to you by Unibet. Crazy about the odds. Bing bong. 3-0 yesterday. The Wake and Rake hits. Everybody's
Bing
rich. Everybody's pocket.
Bong. It's been a while.
Everybody's pockets are full. Ailish with the Oilers over.
She Holy, gets, that second period was, yeah. Whoo, that was nice. I was getting a little nervous.
I was going to tell you, I actually think that, not that you got lucky to hit that at all, but I did start to sweat it because I thought the third period was going to be very much like
tighter.
The third period we saw, which was super tight. Nobody wants to make mistakes. You saw Calgary went into, we're not going to blow this game mode. We're not going to let you have it, which is the way they should have played the entire series, by the way, like a little bit more. But they looked tight, but they were very defensive.
Always trust your gut, though.
Always trust your gut.
Ride the hot streak.
The Yankees under in the first five was, I'm going to say it's our best bet ever on the history of the show, considering that there was zero runs in the first five innings. Like, you cannot beat that. Like, there's nothing you can do. You can match it with also a first five under, but you could never do a total game under that tops it, right? Like, there's no way. This is zero. This is the best possible bet you could have ever had. Gave you the greatest non-sweat in the history of the Wake and Rake. You're welcome, everybody. And Blake Murphy, now that the streak is over, how many losses were you in the hole? Because you're out.
I dropped five in a row.
Yeah, I knew. It was kind of one of those things where we were all on the bench together, and we were just like, you know what? Nobody mentioned it. You know,
no,
yeah,
don't
yeah,
ask.
Yeah, yeah, like
so.
Don't
and last don't night, ask. Yeah. Last night it was my bet the Herman Marquez against the Nationals almost ended up being as light a sweat as yours, JD, where he almost got chased
4-0 immediately. Yeah, 4-0.
And then they let him go until the sixth because it's Colorado and they don't care. He only ended up with I think one or two strikeouts anyway. But, yeah, them leaving him in after getting kicked around to start was at least a little worrisome.
What are our stats now?
We don't need to do that because they're lesser than they were before.
Well, how about our stats now with Unibet?
100%. Yeah.
Hey, there 100%. You go. That's all that matters.
So I just wanted to point out that us hitting a pitcher under strikeouts, I guess that's more of a pro offense. But, JD, yours stands out even more on a day like yesterday, because listen to some of these scores around baseball. 14-1 Dodgers over the Diamondbacks, 16-7 Red Sox over the White Sox, 20-5 your Reds, Ailish.
Those Reds, man, they're
over
red
the
hot.
Cubs.
Reds are
some
good.
big scoring nights last night, and I mentioned that not to further pat JD on the back, though he deserves it, but because something that we've been tracking and something that I've mentioned on this show a couple times, kind of doing a week-by-week check-in, is what is baseball's offensive environment like? How are we feeling about over-unders as a general play? Well, I mentioned a couple weeks ago that the batted ball data was trending in the right direction to where it looked like, hey, maybe the balls had changed again. This is the third consecutive week of home run per fly ball rate being up around 11.5%, 12% instead of 9.5%, 10%. But here's the big one. League OPS over the first 5 weeks of the season was under 700 every week, sometimes dramatically so. The last 3 weeks, 712, 711, 737. So offense is starting to correct around baseball. JD, I'm not going to – certainly there are spots still to pick your unders. But the early season, everything's an under train.
Yep.
Might be done. It might be pulling in for out of service.
Listen, you got – this is why I kind of view myself as 2-0 yesterday, because I told everybody I've been riding that J streak. And I say, bet the streak, bet the streak, bet the streak, bet the streak. And guess what I did yesterday? Pump the brakes. Nobody bet this. Stop betting the Blue Jays first fives immediately. Let's hit the emergency brakes. And if you listen to the Wake and Rake, guess what happened? It went a little different than I thought it was going to, I'll admit. I didn't think that the Jays were going to run up the score to that degree immediately. Like, that wasn't the play, especially when I saw that they had that lineup going. But, yeah, they did it. It was the Angels' offense is too scary, and the Jays are starting to normalize a little bit. I don't like it again tonight. I'm going to start with this. I'm not touching the Jays' first fives until this series is done, okay? Mm-hmm. That's the way that I'm looking at this. You saw how deep that Angels lineup is, right? They get to the 7-8 guys, and you're going, boy, this is still scary. Why is this still so scary when you get down the lineup? They're just murderers on that team. It's a murderous baseball team, and as much as I love Alek Manoah, I just don't think the margin for error is there. Like, tonight, the under four, first five innings is 4.5 with heavy juice, minus 141 on Unibet. I just don't think that's good enough for a Jays team that looks like they're starting to put together some healthier at-bats, a lineup that looks like it makes a little bit more sense and is a little bit longer right now, and then Alek Manoah, like, yeah, do I trust you? Do I think that you're going to get yourself out of jams? Abso-freaking-lutely I do. But do I trust that you're going to throw five shutout innings against that Angels offense? I do not. And so 4.5 is
going
is
up against the
me.
Guy making just his third major league start as well,
yeah,
in
exactly.
Chase Silseth, who nice. You thought Graham Ashcraft was a nobody. This guy is the Angels' number 27 prospect.
I didn't say
22
he's a
years old. Yeah,
he sounds like an insult. Hey, Ashcraft.
He was
you're like, huh?
Dominant in AA, and then they called him up to make the jump right to the majors. He's been pretty good through two outings,
yeah,
but that's a big jump to go from AA to the Jays lineup. And I know the Jays lineup hasn't been as great this year as you'd expect, but it's still a pretty big jump to go from AA hitters to this lineup that we think will eventually be a top 10, hopefully even top 5 group.
I totally agree.
Silseth's kind of all over the place with his pitch mix, because he's thrown five different pitches, maybe only four, depending on if StatCast is just not picking up his curveball. It's more of a slider, but he goes, he throws about 96, and then he mixes a sinker in as well, and then he's going splitter and slider off of that fastball with significantly less velocity behind it. It's been his fastball that he's had trouble with, though. A lot of hard hit contact through two starts.
Yeah, I'm not going to be betting unders on Silseth and against this against these two offenses. It might hit, of course. It's very, very possible. I just don't think that the value is very good, and I don't think that the books have, like, I don't think that they've I think they're still catering to bettors who are very heavily on unders so far this year, Blake. Like, I'm looking around baseball right now, and I see a lot of value on overs, actually, moving forward here. Mm-hmm. I see a lot of value on overs, especially on a night like tonight, where there's some decent but not incredible pitching matchups. That said, my best bet today is also going to be a first five under. Because, again, you've got to at least keep the streaks going, and I'm red hot on first five unders. And I just
stay hot. You don't have to get hot.
So, but let's just, this line in general, the Blue Jays, the game total is over under is 8. It's just about a pick 'em there, flat, so you get the push. Minus 114 for the under 8. The over is at minus 107 on Unibet. But the Jays are they're slight favorites tonight, minus 113. Angels are minus 104. You mentioned the thing with Seth. It's a bit of a jump. Jays had to go into the bullpen yesterday and use the best arms. Not that they would
Four
be
guys,
all unavailable
yeah.
tonight, but they did use their best arms. Do you think that this is good value tonight on the Blue Jays to get the second straight? Angels are a pretty deadly baseball team.
They are, but this is a pretty big edge in terms of
pitching
quality in here. And now the big concern would be, beyond just the Angels being a very good lineup, the concern would be, I just laid out that Silseth's half the time he's throwing a fastball. He averages about 95 miles an hour. George Springer is the only Blue Jay who has a positive run value against hard velocity so far this year. Mm-hmm. That's generally somewhere the Jays haven't been good. Matt Chapman's come around on that, which is really encouraging, because that's where he struggled through his hip injury the last 2 years. But he's come around to being about neutral. Springer's the only guy that you can really tap and be like, this is the guy who hits Silseth's profile really well. The other thing might be Bo's been crushing sliders that he sits on lately. It's another guy who goes fastball slider, and you know, maybe Bo feels comfortable identifying breaking stuff right now, but he's been still very bad against high heat.
I love what you said about Springer having a good matchup, because his over 1.5 bases plus 118 on Unibet is going to be my Wake and Rake pick tonight. I know that no one's really faced this guy before, but the way you lay that out, it was one of my favorite bets tonight. I'm going to stick with that. I also liked Vladdy over 1.5 bases with plus 100. But I love how Springer's been playing. I think that he's just crushing at the top of the lineup, and especially with the pitching matchup that you just explained. My other one was going to be Blue Jays on the money line, but I'm gonna go for the plus money with Springer.
So if you like the Jays' bats tonight and how they profile, or Springer, and Ailish if you like Vladdy too, I will say that one of my favorite things that I'm looking at Unibet all the time is that they have the most hits. And Jays tonight are minus 124. I do love these. I find I'm going to end up playing this one decent. It was the hits for it to be a tie or plus 800. I'm like,
wow.
I need some research in terms of how often teams end up in a tie. I feel like it's probably not good odds, but it looks good, like on paper.
It looks spicy. Like, well, just $5, you know, one of those.
Yeah, just, okay, so over to the NHL. I want to just quickly fire through these two other games. Maybe they end up being your Wake and Rake pick, Blake. I'm not really sure. I don't know your guys' picks ahead of time. But, yeah, the NHL tonight, Colorado at St. Louis. St. Louis are a really, really good home team. They're plus 143. Unibet is saying minus 175 for Colorado Avalanche. The total, over 6.5, minus 120. A little bit more juice there. Under 6.5, minus 106. The puck line, Colorado Avalanche, plus 135 to win by two. The choker vibes, the tough vibes, the championship DNA. If you're buying that, plus 143 is pretty interesting. Any feels on this game for either of the two of you?
I really do think Colorado has a statement game tonight. Maybe because I just watched Edmonton pull it out in overtime, and I really want to see that matchup with McKinnon and McDavid and Makar, the Mac matchup. But I don't have the choker vibes that you have. Right? Like, I know we talked about that yesterday. I'm not there yet. I really do think Colorado's a much better team. And I think we put them on a puck line last time. I wouldn't be that confident. But the money line minus 175 is fine. I mean, I wouldn't be playing that either in terms of just for value. But I think I'm on the Colorado Avalanche tonight to just have a little bit of a bit of pride with how that game ended last time. And I also have a personal interest in seeing them play. So.
Yeah, I got burnt by the going for positive money there last time. I still think my, you know, it's not in Colorado, but for the most part, my logic holds in terms of what kind of team Colorado's has been. I like them to win the game, but minus 175 isn't great value on the money line, and I have at least a small amount of concern at how uncharacteristic they played in that third period with a lead. And if that's going to carry over into this one. So this is probably just a lean, not a bet for me.
I'm also leaning towards St. Louis tonight because of this reason. I really liked what I saw from Ville Husso. He had not performed well in the postseason to date, and it looked like a guy that hadn't really found himself. And Binnington goes out with the injury, and it's just like it's crazy drama. There's just a ton of noise around the series, but he looked awesome in that game, and Kemper let in a horrific goal to close that one and really didn't play very well. And this just kind of reminds me, like, goaltending matters in the postseason. And now I'm feeling good about Husso, at least in this moment, right? Like, I think that's too big of an edge for Colorado here to be on the road. St. Louis was one of the best teams in hockey at home this season. One of the best teams in hockey at home this season. They were dynamite here. They've got their crowd with them. They do have that championship pedigree that Kipper talked about. It's not a big play for me. This is a smaller play. Like, this is like a half unit play. But I just think that the value for St. Louis is pretty decent. Plus 143, I like it. I really do. I think that that's pretty good. And again, if you want to bet them in like different ways too, if you want to take them and have them on the puck line or do like just really, really good value for St. Louis if you think that stuff. Okay, over to the NBA. Closeout night or not? Celtics monster favorites, minus 8.5 points, biggest spread of the series so far.
Because every game has been like a 20-point blowout.
Honestly, the series has sucked so badly. It's been horrific. And like the worst, it's like seeing Kyle Lowry in the state that he's in right now too has been really hard to watch. Like I don't think Kyle Lowry should play tonight. I think that if you're the Heat coaching staff, you got to have some really hard decisions to make here about what you're going to do. Like you can't really bench a veteran like that. It's tough, but boy, Kyle Lowry, that last game, don't pull up the box score. Don't show anybody the tape because it was all kinds of bad. It's one of the worst I've seen a guy play, frankly, like bad, really, really bad. But yeah, so Celtics -8.5, they're -420 on the money line, Heat +320 on the money line on Unibet. The total is at 201. I know Ailish won't be playing that tonight. She'll be staying away. -110, it's a pick 'em in that way. Blake, how you feel about this matchup tonight?
The over under right now. Rough.
Yeah, that's a tough one. Yeah, it's especially tough because in theory, Miami wants a rock fight, and that's their only chance of winning, but they keep losing the rock fights, and they don't have, short of going with like an all offense, no defense lineup that has Robinson and Hero, they don't have a path to playing a more offensive oriented game.
Well,
so
they don't have Hero.
Yeah. Well, he's questionable officially.
Yeah, I was going to say, do we know anyone that's not playing?
Everyone
or
is questionable.
Are playing?
Oh, everyone
if Hero plays in this game, he's going to be a shell of himself. And frankly, like, it's just, to me, if I'm the Heat, I'm saying Duncan Robinson is getting your minutes because at least he's got his legs underneath him, and I trust him to have a jump shot. He doesn't have a groin injury that's supposed to keep him out 2 to 3 weeks. There is a little bit of, I understand the guy wants to go out on his shield, but it's the same thing with Lowry where at some point they're going to have to protect themselves. And this is why I like the Celtics tonight. I'm going to play them on probably a teased spread. I'm probably going to do an in-game parlay in this one. That's going to include some Horford props because I think Horford is just absolutely incredible. I think Horford's going to win Eastern Conference MVP. I don't know if there's a lineup for that on Unibet. I wasn't able to find it anywhere, but I think that he has been their most important player in the series, their most consistent player throughout the series. I think that the league might give him a nod here. So if you can find that somewhere, my guess is that the number is going to be a very, very good one. And I think if Horford ends up with that's on Unibet?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry, that's a four. That I meant to put another zero. It's 4,000.
I was going
to
say +400 is not +4,000.
+4,000 for Horford to get the Eastern Conference Finals MVP.
I would put a couple. That's a just $5 for me all the way to the bank. I think Horford's been the most. He's been the best player in the series to me. Like consistently,
he's averaged half as many points and fewer assists than Tatum. Like I agree with you in terms of his importance, in terms of his efficiency, in terms of his impact defensively. But this is just 9 media members who throw a vote down similar to Finals MVP. It's going to Tatum if Boston wins.
Just $5 would go with this. This reminds me very much
of Iguodala.
He's
been really good.
This reminds me very much of Iguodala in the, what was that, 2014 NBA Finals? When he ended up getting Finals MVP with LeBron James as the guy who like defended him was the everyman.
Horford points are at 10.5. He's averaging 12.8 in the series.
Yeah, I like that too. Al Horford has been their best player. Jason Tatum has been up and down, inconsistent. Jason Tatum's played 2 of the worst games of his career in this series. He was awful to start that last game. He closes it out all right. I actually think that, Blake, the 9 voters thing works in my favor more than it does the other way, which is that going to be an educated 9 voters who are going to have watched this series and understand that kind of like defensively, floor spacing, when they haven't had Smart, a guy that was working as a facilitator. Al Horford has given the Boston Celtics everything that they have needed whenever they have needed it on both ends of the floor. I just think at +4,000, that's kind of a bad number. Like, that's a bad number. He has a very much a window. If Al Horford tonight is their best player, I think he will win this award. And so for +4,000, that's a crazy number. I'm 100% betting Al Horford tonight.
Let me throw one more veteran prop at you. Jimmy Butler has been bad the last 3 games. His over-under for points plus rebounds plus assists is set at 33.5 right now. He has not sniffed that the last 3 games, but the 7 games prior, it was automatic. It wasn't even close. It wasn't even a sweat for this. 33.5 is low for Jimmy Butler. He's the ultimate go-out-on-your-sword guy, but he's looked pretty bad these last 3 games. Do you have a lean on that one, JD? Do you have a confidence level in
I like the under there, Blake. And it's not something I'm going to bet because this is one of those I don't really – I want to root for a good basketball game here to a degree, and I don't really want to – I guess, like, you know, you're supposed to be with your head, not your heart when it comes to sports betting. But Jimmy is just the kind of guy where you can go, oh, of course Jimmy Butler showed up in a big game and laid it all on the line and ended up hitting this prop. So I'm going to leave it. But my real belief for this game is that the Heat are just gassed out, that they've just hit the wall and it's done. Like, you've seen it throughout the series a little bit here where – Butler doesn't look like he has his legs anymore. Like, he's given you all he can give you. Kyle Lowry is out of shape and not ready to play basketball. Bam Adebayo is a good player but a limited player. Like, they don't have ball handlers who can create for Miami right now. And that's put way too much stress on Jimmy Butler. And I don't think that he can carry them for, you know, what do they need from Jimmy tonight? 42 minutes, 43 minutes of, like, high-level play? Max Strus has done nothing since the first game of the series. Like, go down Miami's lineup and tell me who you trust in this game tonight on the road in Boston with an opportunity to close. It's just, it's not a good list. I think that what they would need is a two-man game from Jimmy Butler and Bam Adebayo, where those two guys dominate, and then one of the Gabe Vincents or Max Strus guys to show up, or Duncan Robinson with, like, an insane shooting night. Like, I'm talking, like, eight threes. Like, one of those kind of nights. Maybe two of those guys split that up, but some really, really good three-point shooting on the road. I don't see it. I think Boston's defense is too good. I think that they're the deeper team. I think that they've got more legs underneath them. Since they've gotten Robert Williams back, like, Miami just can't get inside the same way. It's just a huge mismatch. And so for me, I don't think Miami's going to be able to pull this off. I think we're in for another blowout tonight, unfortunately. Like, I don't think this is going to be a fun Friday night game where we all sit down and go, woohoo. I think it's going to be a beatdown. And I think that, yeah, I'm going to bet Al Horford props. That's going to be the play for me tonight in this game.
Okay. So Ailish's best bet was George Springer over 1.5 total bases. JD, what's yours?
So I'm a first five unders guy. I'm a believe in the streak guy. They're, sorry, trying to stifle a sneeze. I originally looked at the Cleveland Guardians because it's a Shane Bieber game and Detroit.
And the Tigers are one of the worst offenses in baseball.
Tigers are one of the worst offenses in baseball. Like, again, Miguel Cabrera's 40 years old and he's hitting in the three hole for them. I really don't like that. But I'm gonna stick with the Yankees and the Rays, and it's the same principle. It's like, I like both starters. Jameson Taillon's been awesome this season. He's got an ERA under four. And Jeffrey Springs, same thing. Like, this guy's been like a Tampa Bay Rays classic. You run this guy out here, and he's going to give you he's not giving them a lot of bulk, but this is all I need for the first five, right? It's just to get through this thing. I trust him to be able to get through the top of that Yankees order, and right now, like, that's what's happening here, is the Yankees do not have bats. And they ran up the score to close that game, but I just don't trust the offense for them. I don't trust the Rays. I'm going to go under 3.5 here. What is the... what's the juice on that right now? I just don't have it up because I still have
plus 108.
Yeah, so that's a plus number, but I still like it. I still think that it's going to be a scrap and a claw to get four runs through the first five innings for these two offenses. So, yeah, I'm going to stick with the exact same bet I had yesterday. But I also do like the Cleveland-Detroit first five under two, so I like both of those.
Little bonus. I'm going back to basketball. Player prop we didn't mention. I'm going with Robert Williams over 7.5 rebounds. He's a little banged up, but he's still posted 9, 4, 9, and 10 rebounds in the games he's played in this series. Bam Adebayo looks completely disinterested going anywhere near the rim when Robert Williams is around, and the Celtics have been dominant on the glass, Robert Williams being the biggest part of that. The over 7.5 feels like a reasonable price. And yeah, if this is going to be the type of rock fight we saw the last two games, that it's going to be a lower scoring environment, that by nature means a lot of missed shots, a lot of defensive rebounding opportunities for Robert Williams. I think he's been really good. He's done an awesome, awesome job through injury in that Bam Adebayo matchup. And I'm riding with him for this one.
I like it. Robert Williams. It's very nichey. It's kind of against my Al Horford thing because he's fighting with him for rebounds and the stats.
No, but they can play well. They can play together is the thing. It's a big thing that Boston's been able to do in this series is play bigger without losing the stuff that you want when you play bigger, right? Like Horford and Williams can share the floor together. It's actually been pretty solid defensively. To limiting Bam and keeping the paint locked off for Jimmy Butler.
So, quick recap of the picks. Ailish Forfar all over the Blue Jays today. Really seems to like the Blue Jays. Loves the hitting profile of George Springer. And so she has she saw that home run. She saw how that paid out very quickly yesterday. And she's like, yep, I'm just going to ride that immediately. Give me that non-sweat. Right. Give me the George Springer double right away. She has George Springer over 1.5 bases. I am a first five unders guy. I like looking for the matchups. I do not like the Yankees offense right now. I think that it's beat up. I think it's torn up. And I really actually don't think that they're – I think the Rays are scrappy, but I like Jameson Taillon a little bit more here. I'm going under 3.5 at plus money. This is the first time, I think, by the way, that we're going 2 of 3 plus money bets.
Two plus
in the
monies. Let's and get everyone Blake, rich.
And then Blake Murphy, our guy, Robert Williams. He's liking him for some rebounds tonight. I couldn't remember what his nickname was. I'm blanking on the nickname.
Time Lord.
There we go. Old Time Lord.
Time Lord.
Needs him to be Board Lord. Grabbing over 7.5 rebounds tonight. That is today's Wake and Rake. And the Wake and Rake, of course, now presented by our friends at Unibet. Crazy about the odds. When we come back, Xavier Scruggs. Former MLB first baseman and outfielder. A co-host of Off the Base on MLB Network Mondays 3 to 5. Are we done with trying to hype up individual rivalries in baseball? But is there a good thing to that? That's next on the Fan Morning Show. JD Blake and Ailish, Sports F59 of the Fan.